Good morning. Today is Wednesday, February the 8th. Joining us this morning is first time, not on the show, but first time as a supervisor, Mike Wilson. Good morning to you.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Bright and early.
Yeah. Woohoo. Okay. I've got a quote here that even says water on it. Oh, the good. Old days.
I still play in that wheelhouse.
All righty. From John Culkin. We don't know who discovered water, but we're certain it wasn't a fish.
Hmm.
Yeah. A little esoteric, but that's okay.
Something to think about.
Yeah, to reflect upon. New Harbor District Representative has taken your spot.
Yeah.
Boy, it didn't take long, did it?
Well,
you step out of the water and the water reacts.
It took the time that it was supposed to take.
This fella, where did he was on like a subcommittee or
no
had some involvement with the district?
Oh, he has had over the years. Stephen Coleman is the person that the board chose. I wasn't part of the decision itself because I wasn't on the board. So basically, when I started the position at the supervisor's position, that started January 1st. On December 31st, my seat was I had to give up my seat at the Harbor District, and that started a 60-day process. The board chose to select someone to take my place for the remainder of my term, which is basically this year. And so there was a committee made of some folks from the 3rd District, for the most part, myself and Mark Lovelace and Alderon Laird, all three folks that had been elected in the 3rd District. Mike Foggett, who is the district engineer, but he's also the engineer for the city of Blue Lake and a Blue Lake resident. And Richard Marks, who is the one commissioner who was on that committee. We received 13, I would call them qualified applicants for that.
Really?
Which was great. You know how when you open these things up, I hope somebody's going to apply.
Yeah.
If any one of these 13 people, just by looking at their resumes, had, if you had to just roll the random dice and put one of those people and see, it would have been a reasonable person. Like, it wouldn't.
13 is stunning to me because there are so few candidates.
Right. Right, right. And I think part of the problem is many people are shy of maybe an electoral process. And so this is something that's a little bit less than electoral process. And so
was there any prerequisite?
There's no prerequisite.
Other than residency?
Other than residency, no prerequisite. But really, I mean, all smart, able people, and which was great. And I encourage everybody to engage, and I think there's a lot more of that these days too, right in this moment in time. So the board basically selected the top five through a ranking system to be interviewed by this committee, and the committee interviewed those folks and then made a recommendation to the board of what their top two folks would be. And then one person who didn't quite make it in what made it the interview process but wasn't part of the top two campaigned basically the board to be interviewed, and that person was added to the interview process that happened on last Thursday night, and they had an interview process, and Stephen Coleman was the selected new person to replace me.
Notice you didn't say winner. Fair enough. KINS News and Information Time is 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, we had show last Friday with Eureka's city manager, Greg Sparks. And he was talking about the dredging for the small boat basin, that it's getting to the point where it's a significant issue, significant concern.
Yep.
As a supervisor, do you get involved in that stuff? Or is that kind of somebody else's purview and you have other areas to focus on?
Oh, I think that, you know, I have a lot of interest in that. And I think the supervisors have interest in that. And that anything that you do to do more dredging in those areas will require disposal options. Because that's really, that's always the...
where you put the spoils.
That's the pinch point on this every single time. It's not sucking it out, you know, with the dredge. We have a dredge, you know, and it's operational and it's ready to go. It's just the permitting and putting where you're going to put the dredge spoils, and can you do it in a way that's cost effective? Because if price was, you know, not a problem, then, you know, that
Dubai,
right?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, then it really, you know, your options are a lot, but really, you know, you have to be able to do this dredging so that it's economical. I mean, basically, the economics of that have to make sense, and it's really very difficult.
I had asked Greg, and he's not as familiar, so I'll ask you the same question.
Yeah.
If the option is exercised or becomes viable to put the spoils on land, and we're outside the coastal zone, so we don't have that whole level of stuff. How much volume is it? What does that look like? How much would it cost to truck to a spot instead of, I guess, dredge it out or ship it out off the coast to the areas that have been the drop areas in the past?
Well, that's you're kind of talking about two different dredgings. So the offshore disposal generally is the deep channel dredging that's done by the larger dredges. The off channel, not in channel, but off channel dredging is the stuff that we do in the marinas and along the edges. And that is generally done where you basically a suction dredge that then pipes that material with a significant amount of water to either the last time it was offshore, which basically was not actually offshore, is onshore at the beach and then allowed to roll into the surf, or you put it on land someplace and let it leach out.
Kind of drain.
Yep, exactly. Yep. And then you manage those materials. And that's probably, that second option is probably where the district will probably be going now, because in the short term,
the dredging has to be done. Is it the city, or is it both an agreement?
The district and the city are partners in this.
Okay, so it's a joint decision.
Exactly, exactly. And the reason it becomes an issue for the county is because once you start talking about onshore disposal options, you're talking about, you know, really the peninsula someplace. And from a land use perspective,
does it necessarily need to be there, or could, let's say, if there was somebody who wanted some fill in, I don't know, Myers Flat?
Well,
you're not going to be
piping it there.
No, it's going to be trucks. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So where does the end of the pipe go? That's the issue right now. And so where that end of the pipe goes is likely to be on the peninsula someplace.
Somewhere around the bay.
I mean, one of the options is actually putting it in the outfall pipe of the old pulp mill, and basically pumping out at a mile and a half out and pumping it out there too. That's another option as
well.
That's
kind of like a Nerf gun then, just shoot it out.
Well, that's so I don't know speak. If it was a Nerf gun, but yeah. Like more like a hose, really.
Okay.
But yeah. So those are some of the options.
What the material?
Yeah.
You know, other than the occasional tire or rubber boot
or gun.
Or what? Yeah, yeah. We don't want to say bodies, but yeah. Is it good? Is it? I mean, I think
is it clean?
I think of alluvial plain. Mm-hmm. I think of flood plain and the rich soil nutrient content that Ferndale has all the time.
Yep.
Is the bay the same thing, or does the salt kind of change that dynamic?
Well, the saline content is an issue for sure, but not as much as maybe people think. And it is fairly good material, but it's only good material if someone wants it and it's useful.
For sure.
And so, and you know, I mean, how that is whenever you have soil spoils, I guess you'd call it, they're... you can't find a place to get rid of it, and whenever you want some, you can't find a place to find it, right? It's just one of those timing issues. So if you're talking hundreds of thousands of yards, or it's tens of thousands of yards a year, I guess, being pumped to an onshore facility or place where you then let it dry out, so the real cost then actually becomes in transporting it in disposal from
somewhere,
that, the trucking from that space.
Yeah. Could it be, I don't know, I suppose could is always a yes. It doesn't make sense to augment it with some of the soil fertilizers that we have, whether it's Fox Farms or some of the local guys, put it together, package it, and now we're sending it out in you know, a cubic yard bucket and premium pricing. Or wouldn't that not make sense?
I don't know. It really would depend on what they call the tilth of that material, whether it actually is...
If something it's all clay, that,
right,
nobody
right,
wants it. Yeah.
Right, and it,
yeah.
And it is pretty fine material. I mean, that's why it's settled out in the very shallows of the sides of the bay. So it is mostly clays and muds.
Trying to shoot for something here.
Yeah.
How long does it take to permit or to allow this thing, wherever the site is, to be authorized?
Too long. How's that for an answer?
Ooh. Whoa. All right. Got the answer we were looking for.
Well, I mean, and it's
makes
well,
sense.
It is. It just takes too long, and it's.
So you can't have an ongoing dump site for this stuff that's accessible whenever you want to.
It's just the same typical problem we have. Is agencies tend to be siloed in their issues, and then you know you have to like make everybody fit in. Into all those things, and it just limits your options quite a bit down. And there's some global, and what I mean by local global issues that you have to deal with.
Battle.
Yeah,
I get it.
But it's
a battle.
It's not just a battle. It's a puzzle.
It's also 8:30.
Yeah.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor, the newbie, Mike Wilson.
Yeah.
Talk shop presented by REDEC and by CDH Painting. Mike, being the new kid on the block, I would think folks fall in one of two camps.
Oh.
Camp number one is, I've been around, I've worked, I've been in this body and that body, I've been, I know pretty much a lot. I'm going to be able to hit stride and not lose an awful lot of ground from old what's-his-name is now out. Or number two, oh, my God. help me.
Yeah.
And, I think reality obviously is somewhere in between the two.
Yeah.
But
Where am I on that spectrum?
As the new kid and now that, that you get the fancy code to park underneath the building and the nameplate is not misspelled.
No, but it's attached by duct tape. So.
Yeah. Well, okay, that would be the I over the A from the other guy. Yeah. Where are you on that? Are you surprised at some of the things that you didn't think would be an issue before? Or how are you fitting in, so to speak?
I think so far so good. There's certainly many things I don't, that I don't know about necessarily, and then I'm sure there's many things coming that I'm unfamiliar with. I mean, fortunately for me, I've been representing the constituency for 10 years already on the Harbor District, and have had a relationship with the county with regards to land use issues, and I have actually, you know, had a profession doing permitting and those sorts of things, so I'm familiar with the Public Works Department and
some of the players.
I know, yeah, and then the planning departments and those. So, you know, from a technocratic perspective.
Technocratic?
Well, you know, it's like, yeah.
Or are you getting sucked into the swamp fast?
Well, I'm an engineer. That's kind of how we roll. But so I have a lot of familiarity with a lot of those departments where I'm, you know, on the big learning curve is things like First Five and the Behavioral Health Board and those other places that are more the social services that I'm interested in. It's just, it hasn't been something that's consumed a lot of my time in the past. And so for me, that's it's interesting, and it's also very new, and it's great to work with a lot of people who are really passionate about, you know, wanting to and are actually doing very positive things to help our community.
Which is more attractive to you at this point, the comfortable or the new and exciting?
Well, and people know me, I'm one of those folks who just likes new stuff in general, I generally embrace change, and that's true in my sort of personal and professional life. I like challenges. I like being dropped into situations where I know nothing, and, you know, or
improve it.
And yeah,
that's my mantra.
Or try my best, you know, to quickly learn and engage, as I might have a sort of engineer's brain about systems and the technological elements and programmatic things and how they all work together, you know, it's really all about improving the lives of people, and that's a driver. And then that's really, and so to make those tools all work together is just, it's fun and engaging. And so lucky for me, I like it. You know,
I had somebody a couple of months ago, and I forget what the discussion point was, but it kind of focused around, it's tough to argue logic with someone who comes from an emotional perspective.
Well, that's their primary. Different
personalities. And vice versa.
Yeah.
Coming from a logic position.
Yeah.
Dealing with things that are rounded, squishy,
mm-hmm.
you know, like social services.
Yeah.
Is it going to prove to be more challenging than you would think? I mean, it's project, timeline, completion, stages. Doesn't really work with social services.
Well,
that would be, for me, projecting in, that would be tough.
Right, I guess. I may have my degree in civil engineering, and I'm, you know, and I can do the calcs, you know, but my profession has really been a lot in environmental and ecological engineering. So there's been a lot of uncertainties in what you do, and humans are in that realm too. We're all part of that system. So for me, I have to, you know, detach a bit from that technical side. But at the same time, it's just managing those systems to try and move forward to positive outcomes. I don't really, it's not
well,
that.
Well, accountability.
Yeah, I don't separate them, I guess.
I would think accountability would be something that you would feel comfortable with because of some of those, and maybe injecting that into some of these areas.
Yes. And we see
historically may not have had.
Right. And we see a lot more of that now. Data-driven, results-driven analysis of what we're doing and what we has been doing, and trying to apply that to project how we can move forward in a better way. Yeah, I like that a lot, actually.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Mike Wilson.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, one of the things that I can recall, I think every supervisor dealing with for the first time and then at the first of the year also, are the committee assignments.
Mm-hmm.
And it's intriguing the first couple of years, hot and bothered about, oh, look at all the fun ones I got. And then as knowledge, experience kick in, it's like, okay, I got these three that are kind of fun. Boy, I avoided having to be on these couple. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to scale back the number of committees I'm on.
Yeah.
So
some people.
Yeah, it would make sense because you're doing other things.
Yeah.
How many committees did you end up being assigned to?
Oh, I didn't count them. And
two hands, three hands, four hands?
No. I mean, there's a list of maybe there's 20 some odd things we went through. And I don't have a number specific, but I was assigned to the Humboldt Transit Authority, the Air Quality Control Board, First Five, Behavioral Health Board. Oh, and there's a few others. And then I'm an alternate on, say, like REDEC and some others as well. And you know, it's really a team approach. I mean, certainly there is a bit of hierarchical, as the new guy.
Who gets the first pick?
Yeah, sure. I respect that. I think that's it's not unusual. And there are scheduling issues. Some folks are more free in the evenings, and other folks are more free in the daytime. And, you know, Estelle has to come up from a long ways away. And so we have to be respectful of each other's, lives.
Just the situations.
Yeah. Situations, yeah. And what our interests are. And so,
which one gets you? Is most exciting for you, or most intriguing, at this point?
Right now, I like the Behavioral Health Board is interesting to me because I know the least about it. You know, in terms of and so I learn the most when I'm in that situation. I like HTA, the Transit Authority, because I do think public transit is really important, especially to my constituency. We have a lot of working people and students who use it, and so. I'm excited about that. First Five, also another one I don't know a lot about.
I thought that was a state program.
Well,
this is just how it's implemented here.
Yeah, it's implemented here, and it's a coalition of a lot of different programs, and they're all working together, just like the Behavioral Health Board. They're all – and air quality, I don't know. They're all exciting to me at this moment, so we'll see.
Yeah. And after the first meeting, okay.
Yeah.
How are you going to avoid getting sucked into the swamp and having so many meetings that you really don't have the ability to do some of the stuff that you think you might have a better aptitude to do, or kind of the function within the board to be able to do stuff? I have always been amazed at those who, and Redoni was probably the caricature I look at the most, stay away from getting into too many of them, because then you don't do anything except for have meetings.
Right. I don't know how that's going to work out currently. I mean, I, to be honest, I'm mostly just trying to see. That's why I'm not afraid of kind of jumping into a lot of different things at the moment, because I want to see where I can be the most effectual. The things that, you know, I worked on with regards to the Harbor District in the past had a lot to do with, ecological restoration around Humboldt Bay, but a lot to do with economic development. That really got me jazzed, and working on the pulp mill side and just helping not just shipping, but also, aquaculture and our recreation and everything that was going on. You know, it's an economic ecosystem, right? And they all work together, and they all can't exist without each other, really. I'm hoping to really stay involved in those things. So, yeah.
Well, that ought to make, as long as you're broad enough with your committee assignments, it'll keep things dynamic. And hit different parts of your experiences.
And for me, I'm a liaison to the board for a lot of these committees, and so I feel like my job is just to help them communicate with the board and back, and help them move their things forward that needs to be done.
Be the messenger.
do my best.
Yeah, make sure you're wearing Teflon shorts. Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.